Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? Kat Sadler, I am so excited to be able to learn from you today. You really inspire me and you've done so much work. And I grew up in high school, college, watching you on E! News. And it's so cool to be able to be in a room with you and learn and just see like why you're such a pro. We're doing a pod swap. So I'm on Kat's podcast, Kat Sadler Now. You've gone into a new season, change in the podcast.
Yeah, a little refresh.
Refresh.
Yes.
So I'm so excited to be on that. And we just did our conversation for the pod and it was so great. So I'm so excited for what I have just learned about you for others too on Better Tomorrow.
Likewise. And thank you for that. That's so sweet. I knew we'd have a connection. We're like, you see people on social and, you know, we've been in like obviously the same business, but to spend real time is so cool. And yeah, I'm old.
No, you just have so much like
experience.
Yes, yes. Which,
no, but I love that. I don't take offense to you saying that. That's so cool. How cool that I was in your living room in Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, and then a little farm girl from Indiana to have even been in to Hollywood myself. So it's all really, really amazing.
Well, for me, it's like you're the type of person that I learned from, and you just have you've had such an awesome career and you've changed and you've been able to pivot. And I think in any for anyone in any type of place in their life, you have pivots and you do accomplish dreams, but then what's next? But I want to go back to how I know you. And that was on E! News. How did you even get into doing entertainment news?
Yeah. Well, I'll try to make the story as brief as possible.
You don't have
to. But
I mean,
I was I grew up in Indiana, both in Indianapolis, which was the city as I was a young girl, and then moved to a very small town called Martinsville, Indiana. It's where my family's roots are. And I was always in theater. I loved plays and musicals. I sang the national anthem at all the football games.
No big deal.
I was like always performing, mm-hmm. really. And back then, this was pre-iPhones, pre-media, pre-social media. And I was probably always just a dreamer. I would mm-hmm. watch film and I would listen to music. And I was like every other young girl, like in the mirror with a hairbrush, pretending to be... You probably don't even know who Debbie Gibson is. Like I
do.
I think yes. I say that out loud because I just heard from her recently on DM. I'm like, this is so weird how life is. I used to like sing her song in my mirror. But anyway, I never really thought that a life in television or even acting was a possibility. You know, no one I knew was from the business. No one I really knew had left Indiana. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I went to Indiana University, I finally declared broadcast journalism as my major, and I did have heroes like Oprah, who was on every day at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Mine too.
Same.
I got home and watched 3 o'clock was Ellen, 4 o'clock was Oprah.
Yes.
That was the TV I watched. And
yes.
then E! News. Like literally. Yes. Yeah. Same.
Exactly. And so I would watch Katie Couric on the Today Show, and I remember admiring them so much and definitely having an interest in what they did, but I still didn't think really, really in my heart of hearts that was a possibility for me. How would that be a thing? Like, I wasn't even allowing myself to dream big enough. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was an intern at a local Fox affiliate in Indianapolis, and I was in a newsroom, and I was suddenly around a really supportive, cool environment, a lot of them women, who were kind of like, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? And then with every opportunity that either presented itself or that I created at that time of being 20 years old, I randomly got a phone call from an agent in New York City who had seen me like briefly, because I was on like TV there via my internship and a little like general assignment reporting I started doing like once a month. It was just so rare that this agent could have seen me on television anyway, but he did. And he kind of kept calling me. I didn't know what an agent even was. I didn't even know what their role would be in my career. I was like in a band. I was finishing school. Like, it's a kind of a wild story. But ultimately, I ended up calling this guy back, and he was the first person, Ezra Marcus from NS Beanstalk Agency in New York, to say, well, what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, oh God, nobody's really point blank mm-hmm. asked me like that. And I said, well, you know, I want to merge my broadcasting education and skills and knowledge with entertainment, because that's my passion. And I love the arts and I love film and I love fashion and all these things. So he's like, okay, well, let's just engineer your career to get you there. And I was like, wait, what? Like at the time, Entertainment Tonight was the pinnacle. E! Was cool, and I remember watching that also. But, you know, again, we only had so many channels mm-hmm. back then. It wasn't like everything was online. It wasn't like everybody had 144 cable channels to choose from. It was very, very limited, and Entertainment Tonight was the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I said out loud, well, yeah, I want to do that. Really? I mean, I was – so – cut to getting on some on-air experience locally, creating a bit of a resume reel. I created a dance show called The Groove in 1997 in my hometown. Like, I was doing all the things. I got really busy and hands-on, still not really thinking it was going to take me anywhere. But then I had a beautiful friend, Molly Palmateer, shout out to her, who came to L.A., and she had a job here in LA, and I was in that internship position, and she said, you belong here. I'd never even been to California. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd just been to New York.
And how
I'd
never old were even you traveled. At this time?
21, you know.
Yeah.
Like, never even, like, left the, you know, no idea. So I quit that part-time job at the Fox affiliate, and I came out here for a summer to live with Molly and sleep on her couch, literally, and not have a job, and I fell in love. I mean, it was a very different time in LA. You know, everything felt, it did feel like Hollywood at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was very sparkly and exciting. It felt very limitless to me. For the first time, it was like, oh, the world opened up to me. I was mm-hmm. like, wow, this is living. And I had gotten the itch back home. I just, you know, I started to look at my life and look around, even at 20, 21, going, is this it? Mm-hmm. Like, is this it? Because I'm on that same corner at that same bar, at that same restaurant, seeing the same people. And if this is it, I'm going to die a slow death. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just was how I was wired. And so when I got to LA, you know, that's when all of these possibilities became apparent to me. And about a couple months after being here, being in some infomercials and doing like a VH1 appearance.
Are you still with this agent?
So too? I am. Okay. Yes. And great question, because he was like, wait, don't quit your job in Indianapolis, even though I had like a part-time reporting job and I was doing some like youth-focused reporting and trying to get a little experience. So he was like, stay put. And my mom was like, why would you leave? And, you know, everyone was so confused when I came to LA, even just for that summer. But I just like, I felt like I had to jump. It just felt like what I was being called to do, even without really anywhere to land other than Molly's couch. But this was, you guys, this is back when there were pagers and answering machines where you had landline phones. And I got a page. And then I remember listening to a message from my agent who said, there's a WB station in San Francisco and they're launching a 10 p.m. newscast. And, you know, at the time, WB Network was really cool mm-hmm. and hip, and it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all these shows. And I was this young girl, and he was like, they are looking for someone like you. Like, what? Somebody young and kind of on the pulse of things and pop culture and entertainment. They're going to fly you up for, you know, it's got to be similar to what you did for ABC, where you're like, where am I? What am I doing? And you leave your little nest. And that's what it felt like on a smaller scale. But that was my first job. So I got my first entertainment reporting job in San Francisco. And I was green and I wasn't good. And I was, you know, on live TV 5 nights a week also. So this wasn't taped. It wasn't edited to make me look good. I had to show up. Mm-hmm. I was working 18-hour days. I was producing my stories. I was booking my stories. I was doing my interviews. I would be live on the set. So I was kind of anchoring and reporting. I was learning to edit. It was amazing. I mean, I genuinely would have done it for free, but I even got a decent paycheck. So it was great. It was like, that was when I kind of knew, okay, this is the trajectory for my life, because it was just, I was on fire for that, for doing that and getting up every day. It didn't feel like 18-hour days. It was where I wanted to be. So that's how it started. That's how it started. And I know I didn't answer your question, because then I ended up at E, but that was, do you know, it was about 8 or 9 years after that, that I got to E and ended up on national television. I stayed in San Francisco for about 3 years. I got engaged to my childhood sweetheart. We got pregnant with Austin, my first son. And that's when I was like, I need a beat. I need to come up for air. Mm-hmm. That was a really personally challenging, interesting time for me. And so I convinced my then husband to move back to Indiana, got back on TV locally for another 4 years. And then that itch happened all over again, essentially. So then I was like, okay, now I'm back here. Now I am on TV and we do have a great life. And we, by the way, had 2 kids at this point. And I did love reporting and anchoring and TV news. And I was covering a lot of the features and a lot of the entertainment, but it wasn't the same. So I was going to New York and LA to do movie junkets for that television station in Indianapolis. And I had 2 small kids and, you know, looking back, it sounded pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy to be like 30, first of all, 2 young kids, and really with what many people would say is like, why wouldn't you just do this, you know, be the local TV lady till, you know, the end of time? But again, I've always had this way of listening to my inner pull and really following that. And so between a talk with my mom and my agent and my husband, I was like, you don't know if you don't try. So it was mm-hmm. one of those those pivotal moments where I said, let me just do some auditions in LA and see what happens. And kind of the rest is history. From the moment I said, let's try to get a job in LA, I was signing my contract 3 months later. It was wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
What I take from that is you have to jump and advocate for that little voice inside of yourself. But it's so cool to hear your story of how you did take these shots, but then you would have moments of you went back and it was still a great life, but then you still continued to listen to that calling that, and maybe it's a whisper. I guess, did you have the confidence in yourself, or did you just, like, there was no making it go away? How do you do that? Because I think a lot of people have this whisper. They're like, oh, but everything's good.
Right. I know. It's such an interesting thing to navigate because, yeah, most of us look around and we're like, but I'm okay and I'm grateful and I have nice things and I want to acknowledge all of that. I don't know. You hear about a lot about people maybe in showbiz or mm-hmm. whatever that have like a pull. I guess I did always have that. And back to your own story, it's kind of like all you really do in the end is delay your happiness. If you don't mm-hmm. listen, you're kind of just, your story is kind of, I believe, already written. And mm-hmm. there might be a lot of different roadmaps to getting there, but in the end, you'll still get there. But it just depends on if you want to get through the quick way or the long way, or, you know, have those different, you know, forks in the road in between. And so, yeah, it's interesting also what ended up my doubts, or maybe the reasons I would have not listened, like, you're 30, almost one. You have two kids under four. You are from Indiana. You're not blonde with fake boobs. Like, all the reasons I could have told myself not to go for a job on E were all of the reasons they wanted me on E. That's what's crazy, is because by the time I got into that room for that first audition with, by the way, all national faces. Chris Harrison was in that audition.
You're kidding.
Kid you not. Kid you not. The point is, like, people knew these people. So I guess that was maybe before he got The Bachelor, but he was known at least, or he was on other shows, and everyone was around me. I mean, mm-hmm. Debbie Matenopoulos had been on The View, and, you know, Rachel Perry was the girl on the VH1 Countdown. So I was this Hoosier from Indiana, barely finished breastfeeding in a room with all these really intimidating people, so out of body for me. And when I did that audition, by the way, you know, experience does serve you, because I walked in the audition and I had been doing TV for 10 years and I nailed it. I really did nail it. And I didn't mess up. I did have a certain confidence because of putting in that grind for all those years and knowing my ability. And then ultimately they said they chose me for The Daily 10 was the first show that I hosted at E. And it was that they were like, we love you're a mom. We love that you're from the Heartland. We love that you're
those are the people that are watching.
Or relatable. Yes, exactly. And so, and that was also at a time in 2006, 2007, when suddenly celebrities, Heidi Klum and Angelina Jolie, were talking about their families and they were mothers. And suddenly it was being celebrated. Moms were being celebrated. You didn't, you know, have to, it didn't have to be an either or. You didn't have to pick a career or be a mom, and you could start doing both. And then in entertainment, it was celebrated. And so all those things that I thought would work against me actually worked for me. And isn't that amazing, you know?
Because that job was for you, though.
It's for
so
me.
It's like, oh gosh, like, yeah, everything aligned for you. But in that, I feel, I mean, like, that's kind of my life too. Like, I was not the perfect, like, what they usually went for that role as Bachelorette. They're like, we want something different. We want somebody that is a little goofy, that's not quite sure, that doesn't say the right thing, sometimes says something out of left field. And that's what they wanted. And that's what I could give them. I tried so hard for so long to be the quintessential girl, especially doing pageants. And that's just, it was weird that it was like, oh, this big opportunity. No, they're like, no, but you don't have to keep trying to do that. Lean into, like, who you are. It's like, really? That's what you want? I still find myself still struggling when new opportunities come to go do that, to go kind of back to that, oh, altering. But when you were in that room, you knew you nailed it. And I know what that feels like too. I know when I've nailed something, it feels so good, yeah. But I still will sometimes have this doubt of like, oh, but are they going to see it? Mm. Did you have that at all? Or were you like, no, like I'm so confident in all the experience I have. And is that where your confidence came from to be able to step in that room when you're like, oh, I know all these people, I watch them all the time and I'm from Indiana.
It's so interesting. Well, let me say two things. One, just back to being our truest authentic mm-hmm. self. I just do want to just say quickly, I think that's so important for people listening because it is such a draining, worthless, energetic misstep to constantly try to be somebody you're not. It's mm-hmm. just such, as someone who's lived a little, let me just tell you, like, it's just not worth it. Like being the best version of yourself is always going to serve you. And I think so many girls and women spend so much time trying to become someone else or be a certain standard or fit into a certain role. And, you know, there is only one of you, Hannah Brown. There's only one of me, Kat mm-hmm. Sadler. Like, that's just be who you are. And that's so great. And, you know, we are all flawed. I don't care even who you and I may be sitting here thinking is the perfect epitome of the best female on the planet. She's also flawed, guys, right? So that's okay. And I think the sooner you realize that about yourself, the better you are going to contribute to your life and your family's life and the world overall. Like, truly, mm-hmm. I'm not, like, overstating that. So really try to appreciate your own unique, original self and be that. And I actually do think that's what has served me in my career over time because I did hear that a lot, that word authentic, you know, that everybody uses now, but that was all I knew how to be. So maybe that was my Midwest upbringing and maybe, you know, that served me somehow, but I didn't know any other way. I knew when I got to Hollywood that I felt a little pressure for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh man, will I stack up? Am I, you know, interesting enough? Am I worldly enough? Do I know enough about fashion? Like all of that, of course, plagued me a little at the beginning. But as far as my confidence and nailing it and knowing my strengths, it's interesting because, I mean, I'm probably like so many people, I'm hypercritical of myself. That will always be my work on myself. But I always had a practice of, you know, like a spiritual self-awareness. So because of probably all those days watching Oprah, I learned about a lot of authors and a lot of teachers and a lot of gurus who really taught me about the practice of self-fulfillment and what is possible and where our thoughts go and the realities we can create. I wasn't always journaling or I didn't always have a diary, but I started paying attention to energy at a young age.
You were at a high frequency.
Yeah. I think I've always been like my emotional IQ or my EQ, I guess, mm-hmm. has always been really sharp. So I think that's probably made me a decent interviewer also because I see people, I think. This is crazy, actually. I just moved. This was wild. And I hope I saved it again for the second time. But when I was on that flight from LA to San Francisco at 22 for my first ever TV job, I remember being in the plane and just writing affirmations and just and I think who taught me that at the time, it was like a mixture of Oprah and Gary Zukav. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He wrote a lot of books about, you know, the power of the soul and the mind connection and
my
affirmations.
Boyfriend, we have all the books.
That stuff.
So
okay.
I have not read them, but yes, I know the name.
So I remember going to that interview audition, you know, at the time felt so like, how could this be happening to Kathy Sadler from Martinsville, Indiana? I'm on a plane. First of all, they're flying me there and they're paying for it. And, you know, I'm going to do an interview with a big news director at a big TV station in San Francisco, which was the fourth biggest market in the country at the time for a real job. But I was writing things like, I remember back to the now, I'm always trying to be in the present. And I remember writing about the mountains that I was staring at. And I remember writing about the feeling in my seat. And I remember writing about how deserving I was of that moment and that experience. And I remember writing about my abilities as a communicator and all these things. And I wrote on yellow legal pad, notebook, ugly, whatever was in my bag at the time. And I tucked it away and I just found it like last week. And it was like, I saved it and I found it. And all that came flooding back to me because, you know, obviously that was almost 30 years ago. Isn't that crazy? Wow. So I guess that's somehow that has served me. That's kind of my source, is really being intimately connected to whatever the spirit is inside of me or my soul that I've been given. I really try to respect her and pay her some homage, I guess. And like, and back to not lying to her and not suppressing what she wants and not looking the other way. Cause boy, I've been guilty of that and I still do that. But I think that has served me professionally and personally.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. Where are my engaged girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off. First of all, yeah, like I think changing your podcast name to Kat Sadler now, it's making me like really talking about that. I'm like, oh, it's making me realize as you're telling these stories and then hearing your story and then thinking of my own, the times that I've been able to step into my future was when I was fully acknowledging the now before I went into an interview or before a big opportunity. It was when I wasn't like prepping so much that I was like thinking, okay, what happens if this happens in 5 minutes or if they say this? But it's those moments that you're right before the big thing that you're just so there and not worried about what's on the other side of the door. That is when the things happen for you. Mm. One of the things I wanted to get into as E! News. You were at E! News for a really long time and you decided to leave. What was that like? And can you go into a little bit of what made you make that decision?
Mm-hmm. Yes. All of that season is still, even though that was like 5 years ago now, almost 6 years ago, I think, but like it's still very fresh in my mind. It'll always mm-hmm. be really fresh in my mind because it was a seismic change in my life. Definitely like a marker I know that will always kind of be attached to my life and my decisions and my career and my family and all these things. But even in this conversation with you already, like I'm feeling a through line because it started with information, but then it next went to my feeling of listening to myself, mm-hmm. right? Which mm-hmm. we keep coming back to. And so I was in, it was the beginning of 2017. I was hosting a brand new show at E! At the time called The Daily Pop. You know, so the network had chosen me to be one of three hosts on the show. It was live every day. It was 2 hours. It was so fun. It was really was my dream job at the time because it wasn't just reading the news. It wasn't just going and doing interviews. It was live. We were interacting with the audience, with social media. We had live guests. It was like full on, lots of work. And then I would also be on set at E! News at least 3 times a week in the afternoon helping deliver E! News. So I was loving life, but I was very busy and my contract was up at the end of the year. And how that works for people who don't know is, you know, if you're on TV, you have a contract for a couple of years, generally in news anyway, and then you redo that contract. Maybe you'll get a little raise. Maybe you'll change a couple of things. Your team works with the network. And everybody hopefully is happy at the end of the day. And so about that time when I was working more than I'd ever worked, I suddenly had to be in the door in the makeup chair at 7 a.m. every morning. I wouldn't leave till, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is already like that's like 9 hours. You know, I still have my 2 kids. I was a single mom, but I knew my contract would be coming up. And one of the female executives called me in for a meeting. And she said, I'd love to, can we talk about such and such meeting? I'll never forget. It was in an email and it was unlike her. And it was about something that it didn't feel like it should be about. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? One of those where you go, why does the boss want to talk to me? It was kind of one of those. And once we got into my dressing room to have the conversation, she said, I think you should know that you are severely underpaid. And I know your contract has come back. She was kind of doing me a solid, like a girl solid. Like, hey, I know you're doing this show, doing that show. I don't think she wasn't scheming by any means, but she just thought I should know because maybe because I was doing a great job, maybe because I was overextending myself, maybe because, that's what I deserved, which mm-hmm. she was right. So I had this little bit of information. I was kind of embarrassed. I'm like, what do you mean I'm severely underpaid? And Jason Kennedy, my dear friend who we came up together, we were started the same year at the same time. We were very much apples to apples on the mm-hmm. network. So I was like, well, how much? And so because we were so close, I asked him and he told me and he was very much kind of in my corner about the whole issue. And I got real fired up real quick because the disparity was so huge that then I felt like a dumbass and B, then I was like, well, this isn't right. This is so unfair. And I was actually doing double the work at the time because I had two shows and I was coming in 4 hours earlier than him. And, you know, again, none of that his fault. I've always said mm-hmm. that. But that's not equality and that's not fair. And so I just went to my team and said, hey, this is what I found out. Is this true? You know, there's so many layers to it in mm-hmm. Hollywood with agents, you know, firms represent similar talent or they can't tell you everything because they represent maybe the person you're talking about. And they're privy to all this information. And so that was such a wake up call for me to go, okay, what do I know? And now what do I do about it? And so I just said, listen, when this negotiation comes up, we're asking for ballpark at least. I am not going to keep working at this pace, at this level, after all these years, having committed to the point that I have. And again, it's not about tooting my own horn, but being, you know, known around the world, I would go to Dubai and people would, you know, watch E, you know, they would know me and I had established myself. And I'd gotten to that point in my career where I was like, I don't even know that I can really get better at this because maybe this is, I've done this for so long, right? So mm-hmm. I felt and believed that I was deserving of ballpark pay. And so long story short, we did advocate for that and we kept falling short and falling short and falling short and they just weren't going to meet me there. And so my agents were really shocked when I was like, no, if they don't get there, I'm done. And they're like, what do you mean? You know, because in this town, again, it's like, who would give that job up, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, no, I think I'll be done here. If this isn't get to where it needs to be, because I had such an icky feeling inside and it just felt, I felt really bamboozled or something. Like I felt silly about the whole not knowing and then getting in the information and nobody wanted to make it right. And then feeling like, well, I guess they don't value me. And then you're like, well, if you don't value me, then why am I here? It was like so many of those layers of emotions. And so, so then I made the decision and I said goodbye on TV to the viewers. I'd been there 12 years at that point, but I couldn't say why I was leaving. And then I wrote a blog and posted it on my website. And I really thought, you know, that'll be that, but it wasn't. And it turned into quite the news story. And it turned into a news story because so many women everywhere could relate to that feeling.
I love how you talked about all the different emotions that you had from that, because I think first it's hard to even step up, especially sometimes as a woman, to advocate for yourself. And then to like have all this, like, look at all that I've done. I don't understand. Like, we are apples to apples. Like, why do you not value me? Did it make you ever go into yourself and question like your internal value, or were you pretty like strong in that? Because I feel like for a lot of people who work so hard and then somebody tells them, oh, well, yeah, you're working great. We still want you, but we don't think you're worth this. Mm-hmm. You can internalize that. Mm-hmm. During all mm-hmm. that time, mm-hmm. did you struggle with that at all?
No. And that's what's surprising, Hannah, because 10 years before that, I would have. 5 years before that, maybe I would have. And I am not a disruptor by nature. I think we are probably more alike. I don't like conflict. I don't like rocking the boat. I wish I had always used my voice at that mm-hmm. level or championed myself. Or, you know, I had a friend, one of many confidants that I checked in with during that period to decide what to do. And she's like, at the end of the day, do you bet on yourself? Like, if you leave, do you bet on yourself? Can you continue to work? Can you continue to build? Can you, you know? And I was like, yes, I do. I do. And maybe that does come with, at that point, 20 years, 5 days a week. So no, I didn't question myself at that point. I mean, I really fully believe that I was in the right. And I felt, you know, to use the word discriminated again sounds like a strong word, but it's like, you know what? These systems suck. It's like, I know I'm not 25. I know I have two kids. I know like all the things they could just go out and plug in somebody else that could do my job. And I know that that's sometimes how it works, but I knew and know what I'm good at. And I was good at that job. And by the way, a team player. And, you know, I was like a good employee. I know I was. So at that point, I was feeling the emotion of anger, which I don't often feel, mm-hmm. and which isn't very a comfortable emotion for me. And the tension that came after was really hard for me. I mean, some people live for that kind of attention. I was just on Bethany Frankel's podcast. You know, certain people yes. want fame and want to be in the headlines, good or bad. And for me, it's very difficult. So that was really hard when then it became a big story. But, you know, back to all of our journeys and how it's all going to be written. It's like I could have never predicted that would be my departure from E!, right? It was my dream job. And I would see other hosts come and go, and we'd be at their goodbye parties, and they'd be giving the toasts, and people would say all the things. And I remember watching those and thinking, I wonder when I'm going to leave, or I wonder what that'll look like. And, you know, and who would have ever thought mm-hmm. that, you know, my exit would be how it turned out. But I think I was used somehow, because the conversation about equal pay is so important. It's only gotten more in the forefront, and it was after hearing from so many girls and women from, again, all over the place after that news came out, and they just kept saying, oh, fight this fight, please fight this fight. You have reach, you have a platform, talk about it. You know, I'm struggling so much. I can't speak out at my job. I'll be fired. You know, why am I paid so much less? Why does he always get to talk in the boardroom? You know, all these, why do, you know, all the things. And I was like, okay, now I have an obligation and a duty to use my voice for these other girls. And so then I felt like charged, because I had a purpose attached to it.
After you decide to leave, this has become a big story. A lot of people are rallying around you. Did you know what you wanted to do next? How did you pivot?
I was really just completely open at the time. Mm-hmm. I was just wide open. And I remember that first year being an actual advocate for equal pay and being at a lot of rallies. I was on the steps of, you know, the mayor's city hall in New York City. I was going on women's marches. I was doing campaigns for equal pay and the importance of negotiating in your career. And so I was being used at the time a lot in that way. And I was doing a lot of conferences, and that felt really good. I did have some opportunities come my way for very similar jobs to the one I had on E!, where I was back on a set, like possibly reporting on entertainment news again and in some interesting auditions. And I'll tell you, that was the most glaringly unexpected part, was that I didn't want to do that anymore. Yeah, for me, I think I had changed so much. And that had always been a little bit me. Like, I've been to Africa with my mom, and she has a charity for women. And which we made a documentary no one saw. But, like, I always had this kind of call to do deeper, more meaningful things, mm-hmm. right? So eventually, in many ways, I was kind of outgrowing the telling everybody what Kim and Kanye did last night. Like, I was kind of, like, outgrowing that, mm-hmm. to be honest. It didn't light me up. Mm-hmm. And so that was the most interesting thing, having covered entertainment news for all those years, is like I unsubscribed to like all that stuff. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't even getting that on my phone. I didn't know what Justin Bieber was doing. I didn't know. I didn't care. And so I had a couple opportunities come my way to go back to the grind of 5 days a week doing entertainment news. And you know what? I was like, I mean, now listen, had they maybe paid me three times, you know, it wasn't like something so good I couldn't turn down. So they made it somewhat easy for me. But I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be used like this anymore. I think I'm ready to enter my next chapter. And so then the podcast, I had an original podcast called Naked at the time. And when I started getting into the podcast space, I immediately was turned on to it because of that reason of, this can be meaningful. This can be long form. This can be like, we can actually exchange in a way that listeners can be moved or changed or inspired or feel less alone, all those same reasons. So now I've kind of grown into you know, a myriad of things, you know, I do my podcast weekly and I have more than 100 episodes in my most recent podcast, but I just took my first break in the last month because I'm having so many personal changes. As of this moment, Hannah, in 3 days, I'm going to be an empty nester. I'm taking my son to college. So I'm also cutting myself a little slack on the professional tip because my job has been mom and my job has been my kids are leaving. So I've had so much going on that that's been okay. It's like I kind of like feel so lucky again where I'm not grinding or slaving. I'm not working for a big corporation where I have to do anything. I've just built this nice pocket. I get to interview amazing people. I get to do it from my home studio and I get to still like I'm leaving here to go help my kid who just moved into an apartment figure out the laundry machine. Like that's literally what I'm doing. So how blessed am I? I feel so just great with the pace at which my life is at this moment. And having said that, I am feeling that itch again. So I don't know what's coming, but I feel like something's bubbling. As soon as I get my kids sorted and off to college, I think I'm going to be gearing up for something new again.
I think you're in such a season of change. I mean, you left 5-6 years ago, something like that. I don't know exactly. And you've become self-employed. Was that the first time that you were self-employed?
Oh, yeah.
And you've built all this. And then you were able to be with your kids for the last few years, them being with you. Like you wouldn't have been able to. Mm-mm. So it's so cool. And I have to remind myself too, that sometimes these changes that feel unexpected, they give you something that without that change or shift, you might not have got to experience. What has it been like in your personal life though? So much change. You've moved in with your partner. Your kids are not there. I know with my mom, obviously it was a few years ago, that was such a hard time for her when your kids are going off and then you are also kind of going off on this new chapter. What has that been like?
What was I thinking? You know, until I'm living in it at this exact moment, it was like, this is so beautiful. It's like all the pieces of the puzzle are all lining up at the perfect time. And, you know, Greg and I, of course, were like, this will be such wonderful timing because the boys will be launching and then you can land here. And it's all been great. In the last week or so, I've been very emotional. I'm just feeling myself. I'm really sensitive. I know watching Orion, again, it can be all those feelings at once because I'm so excited for him and I know this needs to happen. I feel so blessed that we can even offer him, you know, this education, like all, there's so many great things, but internally it definitely, there's a turbulence, like a quiet, like unsettling that I just am going to have to work through. I'm going to have to go back to my yoga and I read this book, from Pema Chodron. I don't know if you know who she is. It's called Comfortable with Uncertainty.
And I need it.
Oh, it's great. It's like my little Bible. I always go back to it. And it really is about being okay with not knowing everything and being so attached to every outcome or like really learning to settle into that feeling of impermanence with, you know, not knowing. Because it does kind of feel like that feeling when, you know, if you change schools and you're the new kid at school, everything feels so foreign and new. And I do feel, as much as Greg and I are so great and I feel so safe with him, I'm in a new home after 13 years. So there's no way for it to not feel a little new. And
where is my place here?
Yeah.
How do I make this feel like my home?
Yes.
That's a big change, especially after, like for me, I moved after 3 years and that was hard. I couldn't imagine all the life that you lived in this way, being a mom and always being a mom, but letting them, you know, fly away. It's hard. What advice do you have for people that are facing big life decisions or change, in their relationships and in their career? What are you learning? And I feel like you've kind of answered this, but what else would you add?
you know, feel your feelings. I mean, everyone, I think, going through any kind of change, it's going to be challenging or difficult or unsettling, mm-hmm. like I just mentioned. Sit with it. You know, I think sitting with your feelings allows them to move through you. And then the sooner you start to recover from those feelings, I used to make the habit of going to my wine glass or, you know, whatever, numbing out on some level, or just like binging Succession for, you know, 3 days in a row. So I think with change, you know, just be with it, you know, now, be with it now, yeah. You know, it's back to that. And knowing that our thoughts can be so detrimental, because we really can future trip so much about an outcome or what it's going to look like, or, and we just get in our heads so much about things, and it just doesn't, A, it doesn't serve you, but B, it can actually also be detrimental, mm-hmm. right? We attract more of the negative if that's where our head goes. So really just try to, I always tell everyone, because I know it's hard to be still, especially when these big transitions are happening or the big monumental things are happening. It's as easy as stepping out your front door and getting walk and, you know, going on a walk and getting fresh air. It just sounds so simple. Like, if you don't have the means or the access to a great doctor or even the medicines or whatever, like, nature is it. Mm-hmm. Nature is always my answer. It is, sure. like, go outside, take your shoes off, put your feet on the ground, get in the grass, mm-hmm. notice what's happening in the tree above you, listen to the birds you're hear, like, that are in the distance. What's the sky doing? Oh my God, it moves so fast. It will always take you out of your anxiety, I think. It's like a really good practice I go to.
I totally agree. I think that advice of feeling your feelings, being present, do it now, because you don't outrun that.
Yes.
It's always going to manifest in some way, which we've talked about. Like, I know for me, that is fully happen. It manifests in your body in ways you're like, oh my gosh, why is my back hurting? And it can be a lot of things, feelings that you haven't dealt with. It has to go somewhere. So I think that is really great advice.
Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves. But sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure, and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at travelsouthdakota.com. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin's cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? You heard that right. Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. Each Dunkin' cold K-Cup pod is packed with the smooth, bold Dunkin' flavor you crave. Pick up a pack of Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods and enjoy a Dunkin' cold coffee at home whenever you crave it. Just brew over ice and sip in seconds, because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be. Podcasting, you have been doing this for a while. What do you love about podcasting, and yeah, just how is it different?
Yeah, it's so different. Mostly all very positive, some of it not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do now by choice, you know, book my guests and research my guests. You know, I used to have producers who would mm-hmm. hand me a packet every morning, you know, and I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, now I'm generally doing that myself. So the technical part, because I have my own production company and I'm trying to do everything under mm-hmm. that umbrella. And so it's just a lot of education, you mm-hmm. know, going into that. For me, I love the freedom, the creative freedom to what's the name of my show going to be? How's my artwork going to look? What is the tone and feel? What's the music going to be? Like, I'm producing content now in a way as a quote unquote talent. I was just inserted into somebody else's business. You're going to talk to so-and-so today and it's going to be here. And then you hand it over. You never see it again. You don't know how it's edited. And then, you know, so there's a much more of my voice and my ability and I guess my direction now. It's really my baby, the podcast. And I love not asking permission. I love that I don't have to run anything by anybody. I'm my own boss. It's wonderfully freeing. And, you know, having conversations with people, I want to, not that I have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. And I'm sure you'll find this. It's kind of like, I can speak with an author or a reality star or, you know, an actress or a chef or a doctor, mm-hmm. or a, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I have found that, like, if I'm fired up about it, if I care deeply about it, it doesn't have to fit any formula. I'm going to show up interested, and that's going to make it more interesting for my audience, right? So I just love that it can be anything. It mm-hmm. just has to, I guess, at the end of the day, be me, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. When you're having these conversations on your podcast, is there a goal that you have or a mission that you want to accomplish for your listeners?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I love how clearly you defined that when you mm-hmm. started this, because I think that's so, so important. My podcast has moved into the wellness space, believe it or not, which is so interesting because initially it was in the society and pop culture or whatever mm-hmm. space, because I'm interviewing, you know, people and founders and public celebrities and all mm-hmm. of this. But because my personal interest has morphed so much into self-growth, personal growth, wellness, and all of that, all of my conversations have become so much about that. So my goal is that I'm helping my listeners continue to evolve and really operate from not maybe a fixed mindset of everything they thought they knew, but a more open mindset and what is available to us that can help us be our best selves. So again, whether that's a doctor or a meditative guru or whomever, I'm bringing people to the show that can help inspire and uplift and change the thinking even of my audience so that they can expand in their own lives. So that's really the goal.
And I think it's cool that you've stayed true to who you are and you talk about the seasons of life you're in, but you're also staying true to what made you decide to pivot anyway. Of you don't want to have these surface level conversations, but as you're evolving, you want people to be on that journey. And those are that's the type of podcast I want, but that's also the type of podcast I like to listen to, because there is so much out there that can distract and take our time. And to be able to have the platform, the ability to maybe grab somebody's a small amount of time that they have to listen to something and know that they're listening to something that's for good or that they can learn from. It feels really good to me. And I know that that's what you're doing as well.
Yeah. Yes, exactly that.
Last question. You are obviously so successful. We've talked about all the things that you have done, the way that you've been able to change and grow and pivot and have all these high accomplishments that you've made for yourself. What do you do in your daily routine that you feel like has led to you being able to accomplish and have the life that you have? Because I think a lot of times people think it's these big things you have to change. But what are some small things that you believe have been really beneficial for you in your life?
Well, thanks for all of that and saying that I'm so accomplished or successful. I don't know if we ever feel that way about ourselves, but the thing that came to mind when you asked me that is that I'm relentlessly optimistic. And I know that there's a whole thing about toxic positivity and all of that. And as you know, if you've listened to this conversation, I'm not, you know, promoting that we always feel great, because I feel really crappy. And I think we should always feel our feelings. I think that's so important. But I remember reading an article when I was at that first internship, when I was just starting out in my early 20s, and it was about Goldie Hawn. And I remember, again, this was before I'd ever even left Indiana, and her whole feature was about her, like, being everybody's cheerleader. And she had just that happy gene, and she was kind of a comedian, and she's always been, like, a light, I think. She was one of the actresses I loved when I was growing up. And I don't know. I maybe it's just the way I'm wired, but I am constantly always seeing the glass half full. It's my nature. You know, some of that may be from my own childhood trauma, to be honest, because I grew up in a little bit of a dysfunctional family, mm-hmm. and my role was always happy, 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 happy. But having said that, like, when you said you weren't a morning person, my sister was not a morning person. And, you know, I was always a morning person. You know what I mean? Like, I just love to wake up. I love to bounce out of bed. I am annoyingly, like, just on fire for life. And maybe it's because, you know, I didn't always have a great life. Mm-hmm. And I definitely had some, again, wild upbringing. It wasn't always picture perfect and stuff. So I'm just like, I don't know. I think the way I go about my day, I do a gratitude journal. I listen to some motivational superhuman app is the one I'm into at the moment. It's really about manifesting and bringing into your minutes and hours and days what you want, knowing that you do have control over what comes to you, which I think a lot of people are still operating from. It happens to me, or this happened to me. It's like we actually hold so much power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. Do you watch him, follow him, and know about him?
Yes, that is my boyfriend's favorite just
guru.
Yeah, yes. Guru that he looks up to. My best friend just went to one of his conferences. So I have not fully got into it yet, but
I think this book is a good starter.
That, yeah, and he bought me all the books. I don't know which one to start with.
I think this one, because I do believe he wrote this like almost 10 years ago, and it is very sciencey, mm-hmm. and it does feel clunky, but I listen to it when I'm driving, and there is real science, evidence-based research that, you know, we can control what happens in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, why, you know, so I'm just at least very turned on by that. And so I've been going through my days like that as of late, like, you know, my meditations are just kind of closing my eyes and not just thinking about what I want, or even just emptying my mind, but really feeling, summoning a feeling always. And so I believe that the more we, you know, Doc Amen says the same mm-hmm. thing, your brain is lazy. You can tell it what to do. And so, you know, tell it goodness, tell it health, tell it accomplishments, tell it, you know, big paycheck, tell mm-hmm. it all these things, and feel how that feels and watch it happen. Because, yeah, I'm really into manifestation. Roxy Nafusi wrote another book called Manifest, the orange book that got mm-hmm. really popular. So anyway, these are all the things we do talk about on my podcast. So I would just say, to answer your question, that's my frequency.
I love that. You believe in yourself and make decisions throughout the day that will give you the life that you want and that you know you deserve. And you've done that in so many ways. And I'm so glad that we got to talk today. Thank you so much for coming on Better Tomorrow. I think a lot of people are going to be inspired and encouraged to make some changes in their life, shake things up.
Well, you're killing it, Hannah.
Thank you.
I feel so lucky to have been on your new show. Congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.